Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. London Marathon at the weekend.
Yeah.
And we spoke to a seasoned runner, funny man, Manchester United fan, author, podcaster, Paul Tomkinson.
Yeah, funny guy.
He was good,
wasn't
he?
And a sub-3 marathon in him, Paul. So wow. If you want a last-minute tip, he's the one.
He certainly was the one. We spoke to Glenn Moore, another very funny man, comedian, yeah. Sheffield Wednesday fan, who told us why he became a fan of that particular club.
It was good.
Very interesting.
We learned something about a manager and we never thought we would.
Absolutely. We had a bit of a chat. We talked about Tyson Fury, didn't we?
We did. He did.
And we had a birthday spread.
A birthday spread did happen.
So this is how it all unfolded today. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Good afternoon, Paul. Now, you know I love a Facebook marketplace.
I know you do. Yeah,
it's
yeah,
one
yeah.
of my favourite places to hang out.
Wouldn't it be great if it was a real marketplace? I know it's a virtual one, but if you could get anything from a fairground wall of death or shooting range to a pair of old predators.
We'd all have a walk around it.
Yeah, you would. It'd be brilliant.
But all you'd get also is just people going, is that still available? I'll give you £1.
Yeah.
Basically that.
Yeah.
People give you stupid things. Anyway.
Have you ever done a car boot sale?
Oh, yeah,
I mean, are they still a big thing?
When I drive in on a Saturday morning to do show with Max, I'll leave at about 6:30 to get here for 8:00.
Right.
And I'll drive about 7:15.
Yeah.
I'll drive past this big field, big farmer's field, full of people. So I'm assuming doing a boot sale.
Still as big as it ever
was. At
7:15
in the morning.
Because in the sort of 90s, it was at the height of it, the phenomenon, wasn't it?
Burger vans go in the lot. People love it.
But I remember, I mean, I'm sure a lot of parents did this. When you had a couple of kids and you think, well, I'm not going to use those toys again. So you go along, you sell off all the kids' stuff.
Yeah.
And like, while you're actually getting out the boot of your car, there's people rummaging around the back of your car.
They're in your boot.
To buy it and then put 5p on it, like two stalls along.
No.
And then when you walk past, they give you a little. Yeah. They don't want it from themselves, they want it for a 10p markup. And I thought, mate, if you're that desperate for 10p, don't have that look on your face like you've done me over. You know,
people do offer you like 20p at a boot sale. That's why I stopped doing
but
it.
The only reason I bring that up is that the Facebook marketplace would be great because at one point you were looking at a sort of somebody was selling a concrete bunker, weren't they?
Concrete bunker.
And it would be great if they were all set up on a stall in a field. The wall of death, the concrete bunker, the pair of football boots owned by a former...
The boxing ring.
Former Fulham player.
Yeah, that's today's one.
Yeah, now
that's
tell us about
one,
that.
Isn't it?
What did you spot?
I sent it to you today, didn't I? There's someone selling some football boots. Mm. It's some Adidas Predators.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to find them. Here they are. They are signed Fulham football player football boots. In Reading, they are, these football boots.
Yeah.
They look like they've been kept outside, I will say that.
Okay, right. Kept in
moldy.
The yard.
You can smell them. If you ever smell that sort of damp football boot smell, they're signed, right? Mm-hmm. They're signed and I worked out who they were signed by straight away.
But the person who was selling them didn't know.
The person who was didn't know and they said, 10% off if you can tell me who the signature is.
It could have been a kind of iconic Fulham player, Rodney Marsh, and great Johnny Haynes.
I sent them to my friend Tom, who's a big Fulham fan,
and
he immediately said, that's Zatnight.
Zatnight. Okay.
Zatnight. They've got the number 16 on them as well. Zatnight's football boots. 10% off for Zatnight.
Let the listeners have a guess. We'll ask the listeners the question.
Oh, yes.
A little bit of dead air for you. So how much do you think a pair of Zatnight signed Mouldy Predators cost on Facebook Marketplace? Here we go. Yeah, good guess.
Not bad. £40, Paul.
£40.
Well, that's what they're on the marketplace for. So I don't know if the Zatnight signature made them reduced them in price.
That's a bit tight on Zat night.
I know. I mean, you know, he might want them back. How has the person got them?
So we're interested. We often talk about, you know, certainly with Todd Maclin, because every week it seems, you know, something from LeBron or Jordan goes for like $12 million.
Or the Maradona shirt.
Yeah. We talk about all the big stuff. What about some nice cheap memorabilia?
Yeah,
I mean, have you ever
signed.
Encountered stuff that can't be that cheap? And maybe the name on it has actually devalued them. And so we're after some bargain memorabilia that you've encountered or indeed may have. We'll let Charlie value it for you. I mean, he hasn't got a clue what he's doing, but he will. The other thing was, which tied into the Predators...
Yes,
was
you
I
told
was
me
telling
a very
you,
nice story,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, before the Predators went to market, when they were being discussed, and there was a real buzz about the Predator boots at Adidas, I was working on 90 Minutes, and I would occasionally pop up to Stockport, where Adidas were based, and knew somebody up there. And we went up there one day for a bit of lunch. In the afternoon, he said, come into the lab. They had this gym at the back, which they'd set up. And he showed us some videos of players. They had a great video of Glenn Hoddle, who tested them out and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is quite early 90s, sort of 93-ish, I think, something like that. But this was before they hit the market, whenever it was before they hit the market. So we got to try them out. We spent the afternoon in this sort of gym at the back of the Adidas building and just wore Predators all down and was trying to get the bend inside.
Wow.
Now, you know, I mean, I made a right pig's ear of it. I mean, Glenn got a lot more out of it than I
did. I can imagine Glenn Hoddle could have just worn any old slippers.
But I'd like, because then you said, Charlie, so basically, Paul, if it wasn't for you being a guinea pig for the Predator, David Beckham never would have scored that free kick against Greece.
If it wasn't for you, Paul, you kicked that off. You were part of the development.
So if you've got a spurious... That's right, I was a guinea pig. If you've got a spurious claim to fame, every bit as spurious as that, and you can lead it right up to a defining moment in anything, English football, whatever, as well as your bargain memorabilia, do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com/H&J. Text 81089, tweet TSH&J 0371722344. If you believe you had you are a little footnote in a moment of importance, do let us know this afternoon.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We are going to talk boxing a little bit later on. If you're listening to Jim and Simon earlier on, they heard from Frank Warren. This is because Tyson Fury put out another video earlier on to Anthony Joshua trying to get the fight signed. Says today is D-Day. He gave an extension. And you do wonder what it would be like if Tyson was an estate agent. Because this is a message for Luke and Becky. You've had the contract now for 4 days. Come on, you dossers, get it signed. You're holding up the chain. Be great, wouldn't it? Be fantastic. Isn't it?
You've had your searches done.
You said, couldn't we keep the white goods? I said, yes, I won't rip you off. I'm a good
structural man. Structural service, a waste of time, Becky. It's a new build. It's an absolute waste of time.
You said, can we keep the bedroom blinds? I said, yes, because they're basically made to measure. I've bent over backwards, you dossers. Get it signed, you're holding up. It'd be great, wouldn't it? Tyson Fury's estate agent.
I've told you about the ground rent. I've told you.
Yeah.
It's a basic management fee.
Well, there we are. If you want to imagine him in any other business, as in being a solicitor, for example. Anyway, it's just a thought. It's London Marathon this weekend.
It is indeed,
Still getting thrown by the fact it's not April.
No, it's...
We thought we would turn to a seasoned runner. Some people may need some last-minute advice. Well, they may be thinking of getting into the world of distance running or just running, you know, catch the 5K, whatever it is. A man that evangelises on the subject, podcasts on it, has written books about it, is Paul Tonkinson, comedian, Manchester United fan. Hi, Paul.
Get it run, you duster. Just set off. What more do you need? You know the way. They're all running the same direction. Just get it done.
Get it, Sam. Mo Farah, there's nothing wrong with you. Strap your leg off and get on with it.
How hard can it be? 26 miles, I do it before breakfast. You see it every day.
Get it strapped up and get on with it, you dosser. It'd be great. What a great man. It would be fantastic.
Baller Radcliffe, just do it in the street. Get on with it.
I'll put it in a bid. Me and Mo Farah at Wembley Stadium, get it done.
He's a joy, old Tyson. And, of course, a fine boxer. Paul, are you doing the marathon this weekend or not?
No, I'm not. I'm not doing the marathon now. I keep getting injured at the moment, so running's really good for you. I've done loads of marathons. It's a very exciting time of year, of course, and everyone's tapering at the moment for the marathon this weekend. They're all going to the expo and they're getting last minute advice. So it's quite a stress period the last few days. They call it maranoia, where people think that little niggles are going to stop them running, or they think they're getting injured, or they think they're getting ill, or whatever. It can be quite a tense time.
Yeah.
Good luck to them all. Good luck tomorrow on Sunday.
What are you doing on this? Is the Thursday before the Sunday? I went along to the expo. I've not done it myself. My eldest boy did, and I went along with him to that expo they have up in town. And you can it's a sort of joyous thing. Everybody's loving the fact they're going to be running the following day. But you can feel the nerves. You can feel a bit of tension in the air as well.
Yeah, you can. It's a weird one because I think people overcomplicate running. Mm. It's pretty simple. And London Marathon's amazing because you're held within this incredible organisation. There's loads of drink along the way. There's loads of support. It's really well organised. Everyone's going to be, the vast majority are going to be absolutely fine. But you can almost feel a tangible anxiety at those expo events. I always try and simplify things to people. If you're all well trained, you'll be fine. And some people do it who aren't particularly well trained. It's just a long run, and the support you get is absolutely incredible. I mean, the support is just—it really changes the whole thing. And an enjoyable day awaits. And for most people, it really is an incredible day. It'll be fab.
Yeah, to quote Coldplay, I think a lot of people who struggle seem. I know when I was doing some distance running, I've done a half marathon.
I
really struggled round, and it was because I was tired and underprepared. Basically, right. It's the preparation is key, isn't it, Paul? If you've done enough training in the last 6 months, then you'll be fine
on
Sunday.
How many miles should you? I mean, don't they always say 18, Paul? You could get around the 26 if you've done 18 to 20. Don't necessarily think you've had to run a marathon length.
Essentially, it depends how fit you are. I mean, I did my first marathon off my longest run was 60 miles, and I used to play a lot of football at the time, so I was quite fit, and I was fit and in my late 20s. It was just great. Everything was great. I just ran, and it was just daft and fun, and I got to about 22, and then I slowed down. But you know, if you've run anywhere near 18. You're gonna be fine because that support on the day gives it to you, and also you know there's water stations at every couple of miles, and the support. Listen, it's a long way. It's an awful long way. It's like running from London to Watford. if you can imagine.
If you do that, you get to be Watford manager, apparently.
Yeah, that's right. That's it. Yeah. Just
get
wait your turn.
I need a manager. Get it done.
If you run there, you can have it. You can do it.
Sign the contract, Slaven. You know, it makes sense. You want to be the manager. Yeah, that's it.
Thousands of people do it. And it's to be enjoyed. And also, this is time when people are carb loading as well. So the last few days before the marathon, they get to eat loads of carbs. That's the fun bit. The last few days, you sort of have pasta for breakfast and all that kind of thing, and it gives you loads of energy during the race itself. So there's lots of enjoyable aspects to it.
I've got two family members doing it. My sister's doing it.
Yeah.
On Sunday. She's in her 40s. My uncle is doing it, and he's done loads of them. He's done absolutely loads of them. But he gets a place because he's fastest in age group, and he's 82. Nice.
82?
Oh my goodness. 81 or 82, yeah.
Wow. So you're looking for a sub three?
I don't think he's looking for a sub three. Paul, you've done a sub three, though, haven't you?
Yes, I have done a sub three.
Wow. Was it the London Marathon or somewhere else?
It was a London Marathon, yeah. And that was the subject of the book. Although everyone knows now that I've done it, because we just tell them. The book was sort of like detailing the attempt to run the sub-3 marathon. And just sort of the training journey of that and the mental thing. But everyone's, you know, like my sub-3, someone else's sub-4 or, you know, sub 2.5 hours. There's loads of runners faster than me. There's loads of runners slower than me. That's a great thing about the marathon. You run it on your own level. I mean, let's face it, we're not going to win it. That's sort of tied up. Do you know what I mean? That's not
what's the point if I'm not going to win it?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to win it. I mean, you know, Kipchoge, I mean, what a chance. It's all in the trainers, you know. You do know that you've heard about these trainers.
Yeah,
vapor flies.
If we could afford that, we could all do a 2-hour marathon. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, your book is 26.2 miles to happiness, available everywhere, basically. Yes. A comedian's tale of running, red wine, and redemption. What's the red wine got to do with it? Is that why you didn't do it sub-3 for a while?
Well, we needed another hour to go with redemption, so we stuck with red wine.
Okay.
There was a lot of drinking going on in aspects of the build-up, but I stopped boozing for about a month before the race, and the effort was so huge, it became some kind of massively redemptive arc for the book. But don't worry, I was back on it immediately post-race.
Charlie the cabbie says, tell Paul his book was brilliant. He very much enjoyed it. He's a regular runner as well.
Yeah, that's very kind. And the book's gone down well, and it also it because it deals with my attempt to beat sub-3 in the London Marathon. It's very the main thrust of the story is the London Marathon, which is an incredible event. So the book's helped some people. So it's been worth it.
You have a podcast as well. You run with fellow comedians, don't you?
Rob Deering, yeah.
Yeah, it's called Running Commentary. We've been doing it for like 6 or 7 years. Every week we go for runs. Occasionally we get guests, and it's nice to be part of a community of just sort of just helping people get fit. Do you know what I mean? It's just a simple low pressure thing to do. Go for a run every week and tape it, and people are into it. It's nice. So it's nice.
Last time we spoke to you, I thought, you know, Manchester United wise, it was all doom and gloom, but things are picking up a bit, aren't they?
Yeah, we've got a bit of steel now, haven't we? The sort of the Martinez, Varane at the back, Malesha at left back, Ericsson's looking fantastic. Anthony's got a bit of life to him. The new manager, it feels like we're a team again, as opposed to like 11 blokes who didn't particularly like each other, which is how it felt for a while. And I'm looking forward to Sunday. Do you know what I mean? I'm Sunday afternoon watching the game. I'm not saying we're going to win it, but it feels better than it has done in ages going to these big games. It feels like we've got shape and structure and a bit of fight about us. So, yeah, it's amazing how quickly it can turn, can't it? Your team, the momentum, and it feels like it's turned.
No, absolutely. Well, you can watch Sunday morning with a big old fry up on your lap, can't you? Relax.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Have a sausage.
Yeah, that's it. Marvellous. You were doing the music to the Little House on the Prairie. Was that supposed to be Chariots of Fire?
No, it's not Chariots of Fire. That's the music they play. Was that the Little House on the Prairie?
I think, yeah.
What's that music they have for the marathon?
Was it the Waltons?
Find the marathon music.
It was
now.
Either the Waltons or Little. I think it was the Waltons. That's what I was humming along.
I thought I was doing the marathon music. We'll have to find the marathon music now.
Maybe they play the music from the Waltons before the marathon. Something. I've just missed it. Paul.
Sweet Caroline.
See you, Paul. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, mate. Take
cheers, care. Paul. There we are. That's right. There we are.
Also, go and watch Paul live. He's a fantastic comedian. Very, very
funny. No, he's funny. Yeah, I've seen him. I've seen him live over the years. I've seen him a few times over the years. They used to do these kind of, an awful lot of comedians are big football fans, but that wasn't what they used to have. These football evenings where, I think Carling used to put them on now and again. They'd have these kind of nights because they were league sponsors.
Oh yeah,
and Paul would often do them. Kevin Day would do them as well.
Stop doing that, have they?
Carling,
get in touch.
Happy kind of special. Yeah, special. Football evening.
Sounds like they had a Man United fan and a Crystal Palace fan there. Torquay element there.
Terry Alderton used to do them, but of course Terry then was, they were a league club in those days.
So back in the old days.
Not brethren.
Hadn't gone
you.
Up to the Vanarama.
He wonders about Tyson as an auctioneer. Going once, going twice. Hold on. Big Dosser at the back with his hand up. Going to the Big Dosser in the cap. Wait, hang on. Dosser bidding on the... Anyway, you get the idea. Block on the phones. Good idea, yes. Thank you very much for that, G. The videos. I mean, he's just calling everybody out, isn't
he? Yeah, he loves it, doesn't he? Absolutely loves just calling people anything. Because he can. Yeah. So who's going to take him on?
They're not, are they? Sam Ryder. They're not Mr. coming. Spaceman. You big Dosser. It'd be great. Just
nil point.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Now, Charlie Baker alongside me isn't just a top-level sports broadcaster. He's also one of the kings of musical theatre. You've done lots of musicals over the years. He's the man who can carry a tune, man who can sing a song,
this
and he often does.
I'm being set up here.
No, you're not. You've got a lovely voice. So I was a bit shocked earlier on when we were speaking to Paul Tonkinson that you brought the music that we always hear on the BBC's coverage of the marathon.
Yeah.
So this, as we were chatting to Paul, this is you singing the marathon music.
Have a sausage.
Yeah, that's it. Marvellous. You were doing the music to the Little House on the Prairie. Was that supposed to be Chariots of Fire?
No, it's not Chariots of Fire. That's the music they play. Was that the Little House on the Prairie?
I think, yeah.
What's that music they have for the marathon?
Was it the Waltons? I think it was the Waltons. That's what I was humming along.
I thought I was doing the marathon music.
Well, let's play you the marathon. It was the Waltons, by the way. Not Little House on the Prairie, but very similar show.
Chariots of Fire, like you said.
Mix and match. Well, I couldn't tell what you were singing, Charlie. It were that bad. So this is the actual music they play on the marathon coverage. We all know this, don't we?
It's similar, Paul.
No, this is the Waltons music. We're going to get the old long build up. In your own time. Oh, is this the karaoke version? There it is. Is that, or is that not, what Charlie was singing? Okay.
That's what you were saying.
Bring the trumpet in and play this.
Yeah.
Lovely one, wasn't it?
You got a trumpet at home?
I got a trumpet, yeah. Do you want me to bring it in?
I bet your neighbours love you. They?
Drum kit.
Trumpet.
Trumpet.
Trumpet and drums, a great combo.
Bell ringing. Dun, dun.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely, wouldn't it? Well, I miss sung, Paul.
It's not like you, Charlie.
I didn't miss speak. I miss sung.
Yeah.
There we are. Yeah, I think it's similar, though. I cling on to it being similar. A lot of people enjoyed you doing Tyson Fury. Trying to make you buy a house.
Yeah, Tyson Fury is a state. Well, anyway, in any business where you have to sign a contract, that he would come on and berate you.
There's a few requests you've got here, Paul. Can you imagine Tyson sorting out your new phone contract, putting the pressure on? I've given you 100 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. You wanted 100 gig. You wanted unlimited text. I gave them to you. I'm not an unfair man, you dosser. Just sign the contract.
£25 a month.
You wanted 18 all the text months. You're gonna... I gave you. I chucked in a free phone. It would be great, wouldn't it? He berates
you.
You
asked for
like
the 12.
That.
I've given you the 12.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Lovely ones there.
Have boarding passes for all the 2000 playoff winning. Ipswich Town FC team's pre-season tour to some sort of Scandinavian country from memory. Maybe Iceland or Finland. My beau of the time worked for BA. Jamie, he wonders if boarding passes for the entire Ipswich side of the early 2000s would be worth anything, Charlie.
This is because of the Zat Knight Predator boots, isn't it, Paul, on Facebook Marketplace.
I mean, for the Ipswich...
That feels like a sort of data protection act.
Yeah. Well, I remember once we had someone who had Steve Perryman's fillings, the former Spurs skipper. We were chatting about Steve yesterday.
Yeah.
He
kept them.
No, someone, she was a dentist. I mean, talk about you shouldn't really be doing that. I mean, you know, the beau at the time, Jamie, probably shouldn't have given up those boarding
That's
classes.
What I mean. He's got people's
but,
data on there.
This was somebody whose girlfriend was a dental nurse.
Yeah.
And Steve went in and had something removed, and they took the old fillings, and he said, oh, we had Steve Perriman in today. I don't know if Steve wants him back. I know he listens now and again.
Yeah.
So he said, so I brought his fillings back for you. So somewhere there's a Tottenham, because you're a Tottenham fan.
I suppose there's no DNA, is there? You can't make a new Steve Perriman from them.
If we could, we'd be top of the table every week.
The boarding passes, Paul, are you going to value them, or shall I value them? How many is it? Do we know? How many boarding passes?
The entire
is it? I mean,
team.
I've not got a clue for all the winning team, all the boarding passes.
Let's ask him.
What are we talking? 18? Where are we starting the bidding?
It's like multicoloured swatch. We're not starting bidding. Well, I'm going to ask the Ipswich fans, if there's an Ipswich fan, what would you pay?
Pound each?
What would you pay for the 2000 playoff winning Ipswich Town boarding passes to a tour of some Scandinavian country? Couldn't be any more exact than that. Let us know. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet. We'll let the market decide, because that seems to be working pretty well at the moment.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Making a welcome return to the studio now, Sheffield Wednesday fan, comedian, after a triumphant Edinburgh Festival, it is comedian Glenn Moore. Good to see you, Glenn.
Good to see you. Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Glenn. Yeah, great pleasure. Yeah, it was a real buzz about you, as they say. The show went very well, I understand.
It was fun. It makes me never want to go back again, because I'm like, let's just cash in. Yeah. So if I was a Premier League manager, I'd do one match. If I won it, I'd quit immediately.
Would you go 100%?
There we go. Yeah, leaving it at that. Yeah, definitely.
But this is, you're going to be doing some gigs with the Edinburgh show, aren't you, at the Soho Theatre? And the show is brilliantly titled, Will You Still Need Me? Will You Still Feed Me? Glenn, I'm 60 More.
Yeah, a lot of the venues on tour have asked on our website, can we just call it Glenn Moore? And they have my blessing.
How often? I mean, we're going to do exactly what I'm sure a lot of people do. They come up to you in the bar after a gig and they say, I love the titles of your shows. I've got some other ones for you. Sam, do you often get that? Do you get? Because we were sitting there. How many were we doing?
Oh, did you?
What Dragons Glenn.
Dragons Glen is really nice. Yeah.
It's Raining Glen. I mean,
Glen of Harlech.
You're basically doing rhymes.
Yeah, exactly. And there's only so many things that rhyme with Glen, and so many things that rhyme with Moore. Someone came up to me, I was at in Newcastle on Saturday doing the show, and someone came up to me afterwards and suggested Billy Idol's Glen the Midnight Hour, She Cried More, More, More. I think that's quite good.
Yes, very good. You've got to do Edinburgh again now.
Yeah, for every new title, you've summoned me to another year.
I've got a poster on the title for it. It's Harry Secombe holding a ladle from Oliver, looking very, very upset. And he's saying, Glenn? What do you think?
It's a great idea, isn't
that's
it?
That's a really a good idea. Paul. I'm a huge fan of that.
It's a winner. It's a winner. To look out for Edinburgh.
He'll
next
claim
year.
It himself. I know what he's like.
Yeah.
Oh, trying to scribble it into
it's
her
all
desk.
Yours. It's yours.
I haven't even bought a pen.
It's yours.
I'm trying to dig my fingernails into my arm to type it out.
It's all yours. But,
It's sort of gag-heavy, isn't it? It's got a bit of a narrative, but I know you do sort of... Some people do a long story and then a little gag on the end, but you're sort of gag, joke, all the way through, aren't you?
Yeah, it's from doing all the sort of the terrifying clubs in the early days and just being scared of, you know, stag and hen parties having a 10-second attention span. So being like, if you just keep hitting them with jokes, and it's basically like spinning a plate. And as long as the plate keeps spinning, then they can't complain afterwards and say that you didn't do enough jokes. So that's what it's come from. And what's happened is I've built a rod for my own back. And every show I do now, I've got to have more jokes every year because I think that's what people are now expecting.
Yeah.
So actually, guys, if we could keep it down about the joke rate, it would be really handy in the future. Yeah.
Just five jokes
an
hour.
Yeah, that's
mean,
what
really
I do. Yeah,
well
yeah.
And you're a writer as well. Matt Lucas and Ellis James were in earlier on Breakfast. And fantasy football has returned. You've been doing a little bit of work on that, is that right?
Yeah, it's been so much fun. Yeah. They're great. Great, great duo. Yeah. Really, really good. And it's nice to take it in a different sort of direction to... You know, it's not like a full replica of a Dylan Skinner Day sort of thing. Yeah. It's its own thing. It's a brand new show. It's, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, I was saying yesterday, I've seen the pilot because mine and Andy Spencer Millman is producing. I think they're really good. I mean, we're going to see the first show tonight, aren't we? But I think it's great. It's kept the spirit of the original show, the core of the original show. And the guys have given it their own spin, so you can't ask for more than that. Really.
It's difficult, isn't it? Can't ask for more than that. There's a title for you. It's difficult, isn't it, to do that sort of show because you're relying on nostalgia for people to sort of go, oh yeah, I used to love that.
Yeah.
But then, of course, you can that can flip on its head as well, kind of, and go, well, it's not like it was. So it's a hard balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, I think if people get funny about that, they should just wear the Dylan Skinner masks. And just claim it to be a rerun, you know. That's the best way around it. Yeah.
Now, you've also been on Richard Osman's House of Games.
Yes, I just noticed this on here.
Did you win then?
Okay, right. All I'm going to say is I do have a prize.
Yeah.
I have a tankard. I have a Richard Osman's House of Games tankard.
Oh.
But it was given as a pity prize from Sean Williamson.
Oh, were you on with Sean Williamson? Barry from EastEnders.
Which?
He is the greatest quizzer of all time.
I found out on the day that he's a professional quizzer now. That's his full-time thing.
Yeah, that's an impossible person
to beat. And we found out before we recorded day one that Richard Osman revealed that when Richard Osman went on Celebrity Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, his phone a friend was Sean Williamson, and it was like, well, we're all screwed then, aren't we? Why don't we just go home? And he won. I came second every single day. which I was very proud of, because under the circumstances, it was just impossible to beat him.
Did you catch
first
last
loser,
week's?
Though, isn't it? First loser.
Did you catch last week's?
I did, yeah.
Run
yeah,
of shows.
Yeah. Well done.
I think there's a
Captain
steward.
Captain Suitcase.
I think there has been a steward.
Why has there been a steward?
I don't know. I understand this.
So competitive.
I understand there's a steward. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I've just heard a few whispers that they might be looking at the result again.
I did try to cheat on my one, and I forgot we were just fully mic'd up in a studio. So I whispered to my companion, and I just heard it boom out across the studio, and was like, oh, that's a dumb idea.
No cheating, yeah. Sean Williamson, I mean, if you saw him, you'd be absolutely... There's a lot of comics who are good at it, though. Rob Deering's very, very good on it.
He's great talking to
Angela Barnes won every single day.
She was the first person to, I think. First person to ever win every single day.
So it's good fun show, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good fun show.
Not when you're against Sean Williamson.
It's great when you win.
It stops being fun after a while.
So how are you feeling about life as a Sheffield Wednesday fan? They're in a good place. They're sort of fourth. They're only a couple of points off the top, aren't they?
I think they'd be in a good position if they'd been in League One last season. I think coming down from a Championship, you immediately expect your team to be like, right, we're going to be first the whole season. Definitely automatic promotion basis. The fact that, as it stands, playoffs are looming is quite terrifying at this stage of the season. But I'm confident they'd go up this season. I have a feeling that they get relegated back to League One immediately, but I just want to see them go up. When I first started properly supporting them, this was only about 11 years ago, and that's when they got promoted ahead of Sheffield United into the Championship, and I just want to see it happen again.
Remind us why you're a Wednesday fan.
Because I was a sports journalist at the time, and I used to go to, and we were based at radio station in Hillsborough, so it was like a 5-minute walk to go to their press conferences every week, and I started to really get into their sort of run because they were having such a great run in League One. Looked like they were going to be promoted ahead of Sheffield United. It was nice that they were both in the same league. It was a nice bit of rivalry. And just going to the press conferences every week in the Gary Megson days and just getting to ask the questions that you'd want yourself answered.
Yeah, yeah.
It meant, because usually you sort of go along to the press conferences and you're like, how are you feeling about the big game? But when I really got into the team, it was nice to sort of turn up for press conferences and be like, what the hell was that about last week? What was Rotherham?
What was Gary like in the press conference when you were dealing with him
like
the press point of view?
He smelled amazing. That's my main takeaway.
Really?
I still remember. I never had the confidence to ask him, and I wish phones had the Shazam app, but for smells.
Because
I didn't have the guts to ask him, and I wish I could just worked out what he smelled.
I'll tell you what, if you can make that app work, you can pack. I mean, you can do what you like. You know, you can buy up the whole of Edinburgh. Because it'd be great. So you wouldn't have to ask anybody. You just basically put it on,
hold it near them,
but then the price comes up and a link to buying
it says
there we go,
it says
Jupe.
That's what it was. It was
duty free.
Yeah, it was Jupe jump. That's what it was. That was Megson's fragrance.
Fantastic.
Davidoff cool water.
If Gary's listening this afternoon, and a great many people do, or maybe some of his ex-players who did summon up the courage to ask him, what are you wearing there, boss? I mean, that would be a strange question.
It's very sweet smelling. Imagine it's a bit like the sort of stuff they spray out when you walk around Hollister. But I just don't think Gary Megson wears Hollister.
Can't see Gary at the door of Hollister with his shirt off, can you?
Just amazed Gary Megson smells so good. I don't.
It is astonishing, and it's no exaggeration.
Why should you be amazed that Gary Megson smells so good?
He looks like he's a bit more sort of in the trenches than
that.
You think
he smells a bit earthy? Manly sweat. Is that what you expect?
unless it is just his natural smell.
Maybe if you can naturally smell like
that. It was definitely synthetic.
Wasn't cloying. It never got to the point where it was too much.
No, never.
Was it just the right balance?
I'd elect
Gary Megson.
And it would make me sort of excited for the press conferences in a way that I'd sort of be like, oh, I get to smell Gary Megson.
The smell of Gary Megson. Maybe that's a show next
imagine
year.
That, as you got, if you got closer to him, as you went up to put your phone on the desk, you'd be okay and you go, like a cat with a furball.
They replaced him with Dave Jones and he smelt rubbish.
Oh, what a shame.
Sorry, Dave.
Well, just in comparison, as in he smelt neutral.
Yeah.
I'd have liked it if you were asking the question before. You know, Gary, I see you've gone from a back three to a back four today. How do you describe that? Well, you know, I thought we could... you know, get a few more attacks into midfield. Okay, yeah. What smell are you wearing, Gary? Yeah.
Who are you wearing? Give us a 12, Gary.
It must have been so tough for the board of directors to have sacked him. Come in, Gary, sit down. You know, it's so difficult to say goodbye to such a fragrant man.
It was the eighth time they tried to sack him. Just the previous seven had gone, smells good. We'll see you in a week.
I'll listen out to see how much sort of deep sniffing was going on in Sheffield Wednesday press conferences in that era. So, Glenn, I take it tickets are available for where can we buy them?
At my website, which is glenmorecomedy.com. That's exactly where they can be purchased.
Okay. And you're everywhere, yeah?
Absolutely everywhere, yeah. I mean, we've now crossed off Manchester and Newcastle off the list.
Well,
as Stafford and Northampton. They went very well, thank you. Very nice,
Glenn. Good.
Fantastic.
Good
How many stuff. Dates are you doing then?
About 40.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a big tour.
Too many. It's every weekend. So I miss my family. But yeah. I'm having fun doing the show. So, yeah, swings and roundabouts.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Peter in Manchester. Now, you were saying earlier on that you were one of the original people to try out the Predator boots.
I was one of many guinea pigs
at
the Adidas HQ.
Bending them round the wall, maybe them watching well, going, maybe not. Don't work as quite as firing, well as we thought.
Firing
they
them into the wall. They probably saw them on me and thought, I think we've got to go back to the drawing board.
And so without you, we don't get the Beckham
David
free
Beckham
kick.
David Beckham doesn't
Greece,
score against,
you know,
Greece, that's without, right.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. So Peter in Manchester's been in touch. I was in the crowd chanting at a Queen concert at Stafford Bingley Hall, which inspired Brian May to write "We Will Rock You."
Oh, what about that?
Pretty good, and the dum dum ch,
yeah,
dum ch. I'm assuming.
Our mate Stuart Weir, who was on yesterday, winding up the Tartan Army. Okay. He's been in touch as well. Okay. He said Stuart. Kilmarnock never would have won Best Pie in British Football if it hadn't been for me. He said I worked on Total Football magazine around the year 2000. They ran a competition. I nominated Hearts and Killy. They took an independent judge up there, and the Killy Pie won.
Ooh.
So there we are. Another little claim,
nice.
Of fame from,
claim to fame for Stuart.
From Stuart there. Thank you, Stuart.
Claiming that.
One more. Yeah.
Steve from Cambridge in around 96, 97. I went on a kicking course with Mike Catt and Dave Aldred.
Wow, okay.
Who were filmed and coached for Better Kicks. Dave Aldred went on to develop Johnny Wilkinson's kicking style.
Mm.
So I was directly responsible for Wilkinson's World Cup drop kick.
Wow,
there
that's
we are.
A good
Thanks,
one.
Steve. Good one.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Charlie was telling us about the Zat Knight boots, 40 quid, old pair of Adidas Predators that he'd spotted. Was
signed,
it
signed.
Signed. Was it on...
Marketplace, Paul.
Yeah.
Get it on the Marketplace.
Now, this one, where's it gone?
I don't know.
Here it is. It's from Dan from Derby. For my 40th birthday, I received a home shirt signed by the entire 07-08 Derby County team who went on that season only to manage 11 points and to this day remain the worst team in Premier League history. It's never come out the wardrobe. Would love a valuation.
I reckon you could find a potential buyer for that.
Because it was, is Danny Kelly. Danny, as he was telling us on the show, I think last week, the week before, he's got a real thing about that Derby team.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a real thing about just how
into it
awful they were. So I think Danny, if it's at a good price, Danny would like to own that shirt. So anyway.
I think it could be in the Football Museum, that shirt. Football Museum might be interested in buying it.
Oh,
no?
Yeah, I think, no. What, Derby County's
Derby County's Derby,
I
no.
I think Forest will be interested in buying it. You might find a buyer there. Anyway, let's bring you the birthday spread. And I'm looking at my monitor now. Andy, we can see Andy on our screen.
Look at him,
we
can see him. Look at him.
Yeah, he's gone very close to the screen.
Close
right up his nose. we're going to play the birthday spread. It's quite simple. Andy Jacobs has come up with 10 birthdays. People celebrating their birthdays this week. He's taken them from the newspapers and elsewhere. And myself and Charlie have to guess the ages of these people. Some will know, some we won't. And of course, as we try and guess the age of these people, a margin of error in our guesses will build. And it's the one with the shortest margin of error at the end of the 10 birthdays. Who is the winner? Andy, of course, makes this very humourable and gives us a gag. And always a top-level gag as well. So
it's good being able to see Andy, actually, because I can see that when he presses the button, that, like that chess guy the other week. Is that how you find out the scores?
Well, I hope he's not using the same system. Hello, Andy.
Good afternoon, boys.
Yes.
Yes.
For the first time, the producer has put you on our screens, but I think you are massively in delay. Yeah. So anyway,
not again.
Yes.
Oh no, we can hear you in the
studio. We can hear you in the real time, but we're seeing you in delay. So please stop doing that because we can see you. No, I'm only joking. So keeping score, of course, as always, is he back in the nerve centre? It's Jeff Peters.
Not back in the nerve centre.
Wow.
I will be. I will be next week. So the score's on the doors. Paul won for the 10th time in a row last week. I think it was the 8th time against Charlie. Charlie led by 15 with 3 to go. But Paul made it the perfect 10 and leads Charlie 31-13. Charlie just hanging on above Max Rushton in the world rankings.
Unless you're gargling, that's a terrible line.
At Norman Collier's house.
We're gonna try and get Jeff back on a slightly better line. What part of the world? What a globetrotter he is. Okay then. Well, Pele often helps us out and gives us a bit of background music. And here he is. That's it.
Lovely.
Pele with Sergio Mendes. And Andy, what's the first birthday today?
Well, it's the cricket commentator
friend of the show, slightly, not really. Henry Blofeld. I don't know why I said that.
Oh, okay. Well, he's been in once or twice. I don't think he actively hates the show. If he does, yeah. My dear old thing, what a pair of wasters. Yeah. Yeah.
Surprisingly, his best friend in showbiz is Gordon Sumner, lead singer of The Police. My dear old Sting.
My dear old Sting. He probably would call him that. I can see those two together. Okay, what's Blowers then? Blowers. Blimey. He was only in a little while ago. It's got to be, is he early 80s? I mean, he's in good nick. That's maybe a pushing it. I'll go 80, blind 80. What do you think, Charlie?
82.
It's 83. Good start.
Oh, good start. And have we got our official scorer back yet? Yes, we have. Hello, Jeff.
Hello. So, Paul, you are three out.
How did we go from a terrible phone line to a really good line like that?
The
we won't
Wi-Fi
use the good
not,
one.
Not,
we won't use yeah, the good
yeah, just,
not,
let's
not
use a really bad
good.
Line. Yeah. Here, right.
So it's Paul 3, Charlie 1.
Paul 3, Charlie 1. Good start for Charlie.
Come on.
As it was last week.
Come on,
week.
Charlie.
And indeed the week before. Right. So, next birthday, Andy.
It's the singer Brian Ferry.
Oh, Brian Ferry.
One of, you may not know this, but one of Brian's great loves is Greco-Roman wrestling.
I didn't know that.
I saw him win a tremendous celebrity bout when he pinned his opponent, the former Reading defender Graham Murty, to the canvas with his whole body. Yes, it was Ferry across the Murty.
Yeah. Ferry across the Murty.
Very
yeah.
nice. 75.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to believe.
He's always looked 40.
That Brian Ferry is not far off the same age as Blowers.
Yeah. Well, you think?
I'd say 72.
77.
Wow.
There we are.
Lumber up, limbo down. Love it to run. Avalon. Yeah, it'd be great, wouldn't it? Yeah, for old Brian. what's the scores?
I just lost you temporarily there, so I didn't hear your guess.
Oh, blimey, this is going well, isn't
it? Really
what did
well.
I say? I think I said, didn't I say?
Paul is five out, which means he's on eight, yeah. And I was two out, which makes me on three.
Yeah, we'll keep our own
I'll score
scores,
it as one, shall I?
Don't worry, you get back to the beach, mate. Don't
I'll
worry about
I'll start chipping
us.
Into Andy's jokes in a minute.
Yeah. So 8-3. What about that? Yeah.
There we are.
So, next birthday, Andy.
Yes, it's the former Australian cricket captain, Ian Chappell.
Oh, yeah.
Ian Chappell. And he fell out with his brothers, Greg and Trevor, last Christmas when they didn't appreciate his choice of present for them, a set of thermals from Under Armour.
Oh, that's it. You know your cricket. Nice. You like that one. Yeah. Ian Chappell. It's me, isn't it? 73.
Ian Chappell.
Ian Chappell, 73. Yeah. I've gone.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go 74.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, around then.
It's 79.
Oh, yeah, it's around the right. Yeah,
I thought.
Very close.
So you're just chipping away at me here, Charlie. Just steadily, just pulling away. Jeff, what's the scores?
Paul, 6 out onto 14. Charlie, 5 out onto 8.
Okay. 14-8. See what I mean? Charlie, the fourth birthday, this is all down to you going first.
Okay, it's the singer and pianist, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
And he was surprisingly chosen, it's a big surprise, by the ICC to choose between Dukes or Kookaburra for the next Ashes.
Yes.
For some reason, they chose a former rugby league star to present them to him. Jerry said, great balls of fire.
That could have been a very different joke that would have got us taken off.
Yeah, Jeff's version was very different.
I'm sure it was a very... Because he can do a blue act as well, as Gary Bushell once said on TalkSport.
93.
Well, you shake my nerve down, you rattle my brain. Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Yeah. Geek me, baby. He's got to be, hasn't he? He's got to be in that envelope. I'm not going to stray too far from that. 92.
87.
Oh, sorry, Jerry, if you're listening. What's the chance of Jerry Lee Lewis listening this afternoon? Jerry listens in on an app.
Hey, Adrian. You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain.
Yeah, but I still love you. Great show, he says. Yeah. So,
when was he born then? That's interesting.
Yeah, 87.
How old was he? Was it his peak? Sort of.
Quite a young man.
Yeah. Sorry, go on, Jeff.
Okay, yeah. What's the scores, Jeff?
Yeah, when was he born? Well, 87 years ago.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Paul, you were five out onto 19.
When you bought that phone,
Charlie.
Line.
Charlie, six out onto 14, five 14. In it.
Yeah, five in it. Okay, I'll take us in at half time, Andy.
Okay, last birthday before half time. The rock musician, she sang I Love Rock and Roll. It's Joan Jett.
Joan Jett.
And yes, we always used to do woodwork classes together until we fell out after Joan oversanded a table I was making. As I stormed out, I said, that's it, I'm leaving on a jet plane.
Oh. Okay, fantastic.
Gilt edge.
Nice, lovely, yes. Joan Jett. Oh. You know what's coming, depending on how old she is. Clickety-click 66.
I've gone 63, I've written down here.
Okay, not bad. She's 64. Oh, okay.
64. I love rock and roll. Put another dime in the jukebox, baby. Anyway, so what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
At the halfway point, Paul, you're two out. You move on to 21. Charlie, one out onto 15. So Charlie leads by 60, led by four at this period last year when we had the kindred spirit situation, as Glenn is calling it.
Yes, that's right. Jeff is the Andy Zortzman of the spread. Yeah, he's got all the stats. All the stats at his fingertips. Anyway, 21-15, delicately poised. Charlie in the lead. What's going to happen in the second half?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Welcome back to the second half of the birthday spread. It's Paul Hawksby, Charlie Baker in partnership with EE4 Fibre Broadband that can handle anything. Limited availability. Check coverage at ee.co.uk. We just saw Andy Jacobs on our screens sniffing a cigar and then putting under his nose in a moustache type style. Andy, why are you sniffing a cigar?
Oh, I'm just messing about with props that were near to hand.
Oh, okay. He's never off, Andy. He's never off.
Yeah, great, isn't
he? Never off. So, 21-15.
The fun uncle.
Charlie is the fun uncle. From six in front. And Charlie, you lead us off into
nil,
the second half.
Let's go.
Okay. She was the energy minister of France from 2014 to 17. Politician and ecology expert, Ségolène Royal. Ségolène Royal. And I played golf with Ségolène and Sir David Attenborough at St Andrews. It was great to be at the home of golf with Royal and Ancient.
Not a clue.
No,
not a clue.
No, no.
55.
That's a good guess. French politicians are often quite young, aren't they? She's an expert. I think you're about right. 62.
69. Ooh, getting on a bit.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
And there goes the lead.
Well, okay, let's find out. Jeff Peters is keeping score, of course. Jeff.
Yeah, Paul, seven out onto 28. Charlie, 14 out onto 29. Paul takes the lead.
Okay, but there's nothing in it, Charlie.
No, I know, Paul.
Focus.
All right. I am.
Okay, I don't want to give
you a pep
coaching.
Talk. I don't need your coaching. It's very patronising.
Come on, young man. Next birthday, Andy.
Next birthday is the BBC Royal and Diplomatic Correspondent, Nicholas Witchell. Nicholas Witchell. And his family come from a small manor just outside of Harlow. You must remember the Witchells of Eastwick.
Nice.
That's a good, one for a second half joke.
Nicholas Witchell. How old is he? Yeah, it's really good. It is good, yeah. They normally tail off,
really
don't they?
Really tail off normally, don't it?
Nicholas Witchell.
How old is he?
What is he?
That's the game.
64. Do you think he's a bit older than that?
I think he's older than that.
He's one of those. He's been around for so long.
I'm not going to push it, though. I'm going to go 66.
69.
Okay.
Wow. I thought he was older, actually.
Oh, okay. I thought he was older. Okay. Fair enough. So, Jeff.
Here we are.
So, Charlie takes the lead. Ooh. It's Charlie 32, Paul 33.
There was the one back. Charlie will lead
back
us off
forth,
for the
back
next
and forth.
Birthday. Andy, next
one.
Birthday.
Just deal with the one.
Next birthday is the Earl of Dartmouth. He was the deputy chairman of UKIP from 2016 to 18. William Legg. William Legg.
Billy Legg.
Yeah, one of the finest and most unusual bowlers in the history of club cricket. No six balls were ever alike. I was in awe. I loved the leg over.
Oh, blah. Aye.
There it is.
Do stop it, Haggis.
Kid. who is it? Me?
It's you. Yeah, William
Legg.
Could
be anything, couldn't it? Could be anything.
UK.
Yeah. 73.
66.
Ooh, that's made it interesting. He's 73.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Come on now. Come on. Come on,
Jeff. Yeah. What's the score?
Direct hit for Charlie. Yeah. Stays on 32. Pulls 7 out onto 40. So 8 in it, 2 to go.
8.
Okay. Oh, could this be the week? Here no. we go.
Could it's this
the
be no. the 2 to go, is it? Eight? It's 2 to go, yeah?
2 to go. Just concentrate on these. Go. Just think about the next two balls.
Paul.
Don't concentrate on anything else.
I don't need
else.
You, Paul.
Okay.
He's the golfer, 8-time Ryder Cup player, 8-time Ryder Cup player, Neil Coles. Neil Coles. Yeah. And his family got very cross with me when I offered to accompany Neil to a game to watch Eddie Howe's boys at St. James's Park. They accused me of wanting to take Coles to Newcastle.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
73.
Yeah, I was up there. 75.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was up there.
Oh, 75. Yeah.
No, he's much older than that. He's 88. He's played 8 Ryder Cups, so he's got to be quite old.
So that's 2 more for you 10. Then, Charlie.
10 to play with.
So, Jeff, just confirm it's... that for us.
Yeah, 55 to Paul, 45 to Charlie, 1 to go. Charlie can't throw this away. I mean, the House of Games champion.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Charlie, we've all said it's a different game, it's a different skill set.
Charlie will lead us off. And you've got 10 to 10's pretty 10. Decent, isn't it?
All right. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Andy, last
on,
final birthday.
Please.
Okay, this is the key one. He's an earth scientist and former president of Imperial College London, Professor Sir Keith Onions.
Yes.
He was sitting next to me, Keith, actually, at Gareth Southgate's press conference when the England manager tried to justify the continual selection of Harry Maguire. It was tripe and onions.
Okay, nice. Bit of football satire. And Charlie's not laughing because he's really concentrating on the age of Sir Keith Onions. What is he, Charlie? What is he?
I'm going to...
Keith Youngins. Keith Youngins.
87.
That's really good work. That is good work. So, 87. So, I've got to go 98, haven't I? Or 76. I'm going to go 76. Am I wrong way Regals, Andy, today?
No, not necessarily. Professor Sir Keith Onions, 78.
It's enough. I know. I don't think I have. Can you? Have I done it?
I think you've done it.
Have I done it? Can you confirm?
Paul is 2 out onto 57. Charlie is 9 out onto 54. It's not 11. It's not heaven for Paul Hawksby. Charlie Baker.
He's done it.
Yes. 31-14.
Ridiculous.
It took 11 weeks.
Ridiculously happy about it.
But he's back in the saddle.
The Baker era begins. What a game. What a game this is. Great jokes, Andy. Fantastic this week. Really funny stuff.
Yeah. Were you pleased with the way Jeff scored it this week as well?
Really? I thought it was spot on. Like, really
spot
on.
Would you like to see Wrexham go up this year?
No.
Are you that happy?
No.
He's not that happy.
I felt like Paul was helping me a bit, though.
Do you know, I really wanted you to win that.
I know, I could tell. But I'm happy about it, but I did sort of feel like you were...
I didn't let you
win.
Help.
Okay.
I'd never do that.
Okay.
Well, I'd never do that.
Well, I'm very pleased.
I'd never let you win.
Very pleased.
But I was very, very pleased for you. So
there we are. What about that?
John, the Spurs fan, says, I think we need to examine Charlie's half-time routine. He seems to peak first half. Well, not today.
Not today. Well, I was saying, it's 0-0, Paul, wasn't I saying?
Yeah.
It's 0-0.
He had quite a few strategies.
What a game.
Steve Peters came in. The chimp paradox, he came in and did a bit of work with him during the break. So, well done, Charlie. Congratulations.
Thank you, Paul. I'm not going to be smug because I've lost 10 in a row.
So where does that leave us then in the totals? Just remind us, Jeff.
It's 31 to you, Paul. It's 14 to Charlie.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. Another show.
Lovely.
In the can.
Lovely.
Charlie, you're back on...
Saturday morning, 9 till 11, the game day warm-up, because the games are back.
They're
Paul,
back, fantastic. That
with the North London Derby Saturday. Good luck.
Oh, yeah, cheers. Thank you. And I'll be back tomorrow with Andy, of course, clips of the week and all that. Do hope you can join us. If not, the podcast available around 4 o'clock.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.